All right, well, let's get started here. Let's see. Today is 17 October. It's Sunday. It's time for the CG report. No red beverages or pizza for you. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, so let's see here. As of this past Wednesday, I didn't announce this last week, so I'll say it now. As of this past Wednesday, we have been in this building for exactly 8 years. So now we've been in here for 8 years and 4 days. And I want to thank everybody that has made this possible, because we had no idea. Yeah, getting off of the beach, you know, coming into a little building in a strip mall in Sarasota, Florida, we had no idea. So just thank everybody that's helped this church out over these years, and with prayers and happy letters and emails. And then we have a Telegram account, if you're on Telegram, okay? I don't know much about tech stuff, but somebody set this up for us. And if you would like to have the address for the Superior Word on Telegram, all you need to do is go to t.me, which is Mike Echo, t.me, and then / the Superior Word, okay? And this is not to send me messages. You'll see me on there. Don't send me messages. I don't know how to use it. You're going to get angry that I didn't respond. Don't send me messages. This is just if you want whatever the people that are admins on this want posted. They had to put me on there as an admin. But if you want to see the things that are posted, you know, links to this, links to that, you know, like the CG report on Wednesday or whatever, all that will be there. So that's t.me, the Superior Word. Don't email me through it. I don't know how to use it. Okay. Also, a couple people have once again asked how to find the videos on Rumble. I understand Rumble is very complicated. It's not user-friendly. You type in the Superior Word and all the videos come up, and the most recent one isn't there. What you need to do, and I will take a photo and I will put it in the video for the people that are watching, is when you get all of those videos, it'll say in very small letters above one of the videos, it'll say the Superior Word. Click on that little thing right there, and it'll pull up the most recent from the Superior Word. Because people can't find like the most recent video when they do a general search, it's because their system is not set up that way. You actually have to go to the Superior Word. So you click on that, it takes you there, and it'll show you all the videos in order. So there you go with that, especially with the Wednesday CG report, because it comes out and people say they can't find it. That is how you do it. Okay, so starting out with some news from Israel today, something we've been reporting on from the Times of Israel. Ben and Jerry's. Oh, you know what? I got a couple of people I want to recognize before I, they've never been in the church before. I've got Sarah Seifert. Is that how you say your last? I thought so. Sarah Seifert, she's here. Her husband was here last year, and she is coming. She's new. And then we have Jean, who just showed up out of the blue from Arlington, Virginia. And she's just been a pistol here this morning. So welcome to both of you. And we've got some other visitors that have come a few times that I welcome you back as well. So it's good to have all of you here. And thank you for making the effort. Let's see here. From news from Israel, from the Times of Israel, Ben and Jerry's founders. It's a boycott of settlements, not of Israel. Okay, they've been getting a lot of blowback, a lot of heat. Yeah. And so that's their statement. And then from Fox News, Ben and Jerry's co-founders confronted over why they don't apply Israel rule to the United States with laws they oppose there. And that tells you that it has nothing to do with a boycott of settlements. It has to do with Israel, because if it had something to do with the settlements only, they would have been doing the same thing for Texas with their certain laws, and they'd be doing the same thing with Florida. It's not. This is an anti-Israel thing that they're doing. Surprisingly, they're Jews, but there are a lot of Jews that hate Israel. Okay, so from AITF, this is something that you may not have heard about. I haven't seen it reported anywhere except on one site. Cherokee Tribe of Northeast Alabama recognizes Israel as a sovereign Jewish nation and Jerusalem as its eternal, undivided capital. Isn't that something? Yes, following a unanimous vote of the tribal council, the Cherokee Tribe of Northeast Alabama expressed solidarity with Israel as a sovereign Jewish nation and formally recognized Jerusalem as its eternal undivided capital. Whereas throughout history and its entire existence, Jerusalem has only been the capital of the sovereign Jewish nation of Israel and no other nation. And whereas each sovereign nation under international law may designate its own capital. And whereas Israel throughout its entire existence has declared Jerusalem to be its eternal undivided capital. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Tribal Council of the Cherokee Tribe of Northeast Alabama in unanimous agreement that we do recognize Jerusalem as the eternal, undivided capital of the sovereign Jewish nation of Israel. In addition, we vow our full support in the pursuit of the peace of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel by whichever means may be necessary. Be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be sent to all proper government authorities for the recognition of its passing. Good stuff. All right, from Defense News, Iron Dome. We bought an Iron Dome even though we did not decide to buy more of it. They have this Iron Dome that they did buy, and by law they have to use it in the missile defense, so they've moved it to Guam for a test. Iron Dome heads to missile defense experiment in Guam. The U.S. Army will send Guam one of the two Iron Dome air and missile defense batteries it recently purchased as an interim solution for cruise missile defense. The deployment, dubbed Operation Iron Island, will test the capabilities of the system and further train and refine the deployment capabilities of air defenders. It will also fulfill the requirement in the fiscal 2019 National Defense Authorization Act that an Iron Dome battery be deployed to an operational theater by the end of 2021. The exercise is focused on gathering data and sustainment, deployment considerations, and how we integrate Iron Dome with our existing air defense systems. So there you go. It's down in Guam. I don't know how many of you have been to Guam, but it's a nice island out in the middle of nowhere. And I enjoyed a very short visit there on the way back from the U.S., on the way to my home in Malaysia. And maybe I was in Japan at the time. Anyway, I was flying back somewhere from Guam, and I had a nice couple days there. From I-24, Aliyah to Israel up 31% so far in 2021 compared to last year. Well, last year they didn't have a whole lot going on in the world, but according to the data, the largest source of Aliyah so far this year is from Russia, 5,075 people, despite a 5% decrease from 2020. The second largest source is the U.S., with 3,104 people leaving the U.S. and heading to Israel. That's up 41% compared to the first 9 months of 2020. Immigration from France increased by 55%, with 2,819 French Olim, 2,123 from Ukraine, 780 from Belarus, 633 from Argentina, 490 from the U.K., 438 from Brazil, and 373 from South Africa. A total of 1,589 immigrants arrived from Ethiopia. So there you go. Israel's still growing. From All Israel, UN prevents Israeli ambassador from displaying pro-Hitler posts by UNRWA teacher. You got a teacher down in the UNRWA, which is funded by the UN, and she's got this little Hitler picture up in her classroom, and they wanted to highlight this at the UN, and they would not allow him to. At the General Assembly, Erdogan attempted to display a poster that showed the teacher's post with a photo of the Nazi leader. Erdogan wanted to use the poster as proof of rampant anti-Semitism within UNRDA. During his UN speech, Ambassador Erdogan blasted the incident as a serious infringement on freedom of expression. I see it as a very dangerous precedent here, preventing my freedom of expression, preventing my freedom of speech, and hiding the truth from the United Nations. The Israeli ambassador also said he was shocked that the UN authorities attempted to suppress the truth about the UNRWA from reaching the wider UN public. I'm shocked because I brought here with me a photo of a UNRWA teacher's post glorifying the most horrific mass murderer in history, Adolf Hitler. Unfortunately, shockingly, I was prevented from bringing in this photo in order to share this proof with the other distinguished ambassadors here. So, gotta suppress and hide things if it deals with anti-Semitism at some point. Yeah. All right, so we got some news from Christianity. I got an email from a lady that speaks mostly French up in Canada. She said, "My husband and I started by listening to the prophecy updates. Since then, I like very much the way you teach the gospel. Now, I already went through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and now Numbers." And she admits her English isn't great, so this has been a real stretch, I'm sure, for them. "That book's so long to go through, we do not understand it, but wow, so good to listen to all that points to Jesus." In other words, she's trying to say that she always had a tough time reading the book of Numbers, and all of a sudden, you find Jesus on every page. Yes, wonderful book. "Too bad not translated into French. I cannot ask my friends to listen." She said, "Thank you so much," et cetera, et cetera. But we have a lady in Germany. Her name is Doris, and she has been slowly translating all of the Genesis sermons into German. And she did that just voluntarily without asking anything. She just said, "Can I do this?" I said, "Please do." And we've actually been posting them on the Superior Word website. So you just go to Genesis Sermons, and then there's one that's, I think it says Deutsche Predigen or something. Is that correct, how you would say that? German Sermons. Anyway, we got a German speaker here, but she doesn't understand my German at all. because my German is not any good. Anyway, if somebody wants to translate these into French, they're welcome to do so. Somebody has translated most of the sermons into Spanish, but they didn't put them on our website. But anybody that wants to translate these things, they're out there for the world. There's no charge. They're open to the public, and you are welcome to do that. And if you want them, if they're properly translated, we can post them on the Superior Word website. Very much appreciate that one way or another. And then finally, Brent Spray, who is here from the Cowboy Church in Henrietta, Texas, said this week he finished the book of Leviticus. So good job to Brent. All right. So from the New York Post, Joel Osteen's megachurch shamed into returning $4.4 million in PPP loans as if they needed it. Texas celebrity pastor Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church buckled to pressure and will repay $4.4 million. Only problem with this, it's just going to go back to the government. They're going to blow it on something else that's unimportant. So anyway, COVID-19 disaster loans meant for small businesses. In a statement to the Houston Chronicle, Lakewood defended its decision to seek support from the Paycheck Protection Program and insisted that neither Osteen, who is reportedly worth $50 million, nor his wife received any of the money. We should hope not. Like many organizations temporarily shuttered by the pandemic, this loan provided Lakewood Church short-term financial assistance in 2020, ensuring that its approximately 350 employees and their families would continue to receive a paycheck and full health care benefits, a church reporter told the paper. So, having said that, I am sure that they continued to get all of their money through online donations, and they didn't lose a penny. So this was just smoke and mirrors, and I'm glad that people called them out on it. From the Christian Times, France, at least, and most people have probably heard this. It was a week and a half ago, but I'm going to repeat it in case you have not heard it. France, at least 330,000 children are abused in the Catholic Church in the last 70 years. They came out with a report. I will not read some of what was said. It was so horrifying what they did to these girls. If you sent me the articles, you know what I'm talking about. You can go search it yourself. I'll just read you some of this without giving you the details. I mean, horrifying what they did to some of these young girls. A damning report says at least 330 children were abused while in the care of France's Catholic Church in the last 70 years. Now, obviously, a lot of these were boys that were harmed. The girls were harmed in nunneries by nuns. And what nuns did was as bad as anything you would think Adolf Hitler would do. The horrific findings were uncovered by an independent inquiry which accused the Catholic Church of concealing the abuse in a veil of silence. No surprise there. The devastating scale of the abuse is laid bare in a landmark 2,500-page report released, the culmination of a two-year investigation by an independent commission. The report said the abuse was perpetrated by around 3,000 criminal pedophiles, the majority of them clergy and others holding positions within the church and its associated institutions. The report calls for compensation to be paid to victims and urges church leaders to take urgent action to address its faults. Pope Francis has spoken of his pain at the appalling findings, and he said he is praying for the miracle of healing for victims. The Catholic Bishops' Conference in France has expressed its shame and horror at the report and is asking for forgiveness for being caught. Okay, that last part was not enough. From Reuters, Pope meets Pelosi as abortion debate rages back home. Francis met with Pelosi, a Catholic who has come under criticism from some bishops in the United States for support for abortion rights. Their meeting took place several weeks before Biden is expected to meet the Pope while he is in Rome for talks between leaders of the group of 20 major economies. Biden has said he is personally opposed to abortion, but as a politician, he cannot impose his views. Pelosi, who has five children, has said she supports a woman's right to choose. Biden's administration and Pelosi have urged judges to block a new Texas law which bars abortion from 6 weeks. So what did he just do? He imposed his views when he says he can't impose his views. From the Gateway Pundit. Nonprofit Catholic-owned hospital denies religious exemptions to approximately 650 employees for COVID vaccine. Ascension Providence Hospital in Novi, Michigan, has denied religious exemptions to approximately 650 employees for the COVID-19 vaccines. Ascension was founded as a nonprofit Catholic system and is one of the largest private healthcare systems in the country, ranking second in the United States by number of hospitals in 2019. Ascension requires all associates to be vaccinated against COVID-19, whether or not they provide direct patient care and whether they work at their sites of care or remotely. So they're forcing their standards on them when it's completely contrary to supposedly the Catholic stand on abortion. So there's lots of contradictions going on. I don't know if you saw the most recent, Veritas video where the guy went up to interrogate the woman at Pfizer who had said that we want to not let people know that these are based on a stem cell research from aborted babies. And the guy walked up and said, I'm this person I'd like to interview. And she ran. She didn't just walk. She ran, got into her house and slammed the door behind her. Terrible people. All right. Some news from the Mideast and Africa today. From the Daily Wire, Biden lifts sanctions on Iranian missile producers as Iran nears having enough nuclear fuel for a bomb. So if you got a bomb, what good is it without a missile? So let's take the sanctions off of their missile building producers and they can do both and send a rocket to Israel. Biden's admin has reportedly lifted sanctions on two Iranian entities involved in Iran's missile program, just as Iran is believed to be closing in on having enough nuclear fuel to build a nuclear bomb. The sanctions targeting the Mammoet Industrial Group and its subsidiary, Mammoet Diesel, were originally opposed by the Trump admin in September of 2020 as part of efforts to increase a maximum pressure campaign of sanctions on Tehran over its nuclear activity and actions in the region criticized as malign and destabilizing. The entities were identified as being key producers and suppliers of military-grade, dual-use goods for Iran's missile programs. The report noted that the Biden admin did not address whether the entities had stopped providing support for Iran's missile program. So apparently it doesn't matter. We're just going to take off these sanctions, and if they make missiles, they can do it because nobody questioned if they're going to or not. Times of Israel. Iran has 120 kilograms of 20% enriched uranium, Atomic Chief says. Iran has enriched more than 120 kilograms of 20% enriched uranium, the head of the country's Atomic Energy Agency said on state television. We have passed 120 kilograms, said Mohammed Eslami, head of the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran. We have more than that figure. In September, the IAEA reported that Iran had boosted its stocks enriched above the percentage allowed in the 2015 deal with world powers. Under the deal, Iran was not meant to enrich uranium above 3.67%, well below the 90% threshold needed for use in a nuclear weapon. Well, the more that you enrich, the closer you get. If you're at 20, it's much easier to get to the final 90 than when you're at 3.6%. Okay, so it goes up like geometrically. So things are not going well in Iran as far as this is concerned. If they don't do something to halt this soon, Israel will have to. They did in the 1980s with Iraq. They will do so in the 2020s with Iran. From Mail Online, women are banned from eating pizza or wearing leather gloves, and men must not pour tea for females under bizarre new Iranian TV censorship rules. Iranian opposition sources claim Tehran has imposed new censorship rules on women. Women on screen have been banned from having red-colored beverages. They also have been banned from eating pizza or wearing leather gloves. So if you're on Iranian TV, you can't have any red beverage if you're a woman, and you can't eat any pizza on TV. You tell me. I have no idea. I have no idea what they're saying there. Wow. All right, from the Jerusalem Post, Israel hints at Oman being the next to join the Abraham Accords. A top Israeli, yes, foreign ministry official suggested that Oman will likely be the next country to join the Abraham Accords, leading to full normalization between the countries. Eliav Benjamin met with reporters to discuss the status of the accords reached last year between Israel and the UAE, Bahrain, Morocco, and Sudan. Asked which country might be next, Benjamin singled out Oman as a country that Israel has sustained low-level relations with since 1991, when a round of peace talks were held in Madrid. With Oman, we have ongoing cooperation and plans. Israel remains involved in MEDRC, a freshwater research facility established in Oman in 1996, Benjamin said. So we already have the relations with Oman, he said. He suggested that Oman might opt for full normalization sooner rather than later. Good stuff. And then from Breitbart, Clinton, Bush, Obama, Biden working closely to resettle Afghans across the United States. Wow. So we have the axis of evil going on there, that's for sure. Yeah, and meanwhile, the American citizens aren't getting the same benefits that they are getting. As we span the globe, we try to never miss something interesting from Mongolia. From the Voice of America, U.S. sends Pfizer vaccines to Mongolia. The U.S. is sending nearly 900,000 doses of the Pfizer coronavirus vaccine to Mongolia. Scientific teams and legal and regulatory authorities from both countries have worked together to ensure the prompt delivery of safe and effective vaccine lots to Mongolia, the official said. The doses sent through COVAX, the Global Vaccine Sharing Initiative, co-led by Gavi, the World Health Organization, and CEPI, are in addition to the 188,000 doses of the Pfizer vaccine shipped to Mongolia in September. Aki Press says Mongolia reported 1,566 new daily cases of COVID-19, the health ministry said on October 12th. As of today, the total number of confirmed COVID-19 cases in Mongolia stands at 328,304. 15 people died per day, raising the country's death toll to 1,392. Remember that they had no cases, zero. Zero. There was, I think, 300 total cases in the country with no deaths until the week that they started injecting people. And since then, it has gone straight up, just like Israel, just like Singapore, just like everywhere else. The Book of Daniel prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. What's up in this regard? From CBS, deep fake technology, which we've all heard about. It's where you can fake somebody's body motions and make them do anything, even though they never did a thing. Deepfake technology could soon allow anyone, not just special people that know how to do this, anyone create Hollywood-quality visual effects. Deepfake technology could soon give anybody with a computer or phone the power of a Hollywood special effects department. In the next several years, technologists predict we will all be able to create photorealistic videos and sound recordings using software enabled by AI. Just imagine the chaos just before presidential elections when people start producing these things against the people that they don't like that are running. Okay, this is really bad stuff that's coming. That means instead of cameras and microphones, next generation synthetic media will be completely generated by computers. Nina Schick, a London-based researcher and political consultant, was advising world leaders on Russian disinformation and election security when she first came across deep fakes. They have only gotten better since then. The incredible thing about deepfakes and synthetic media is the pace of acceleration when it comes to the technology, Schick says. By 5 to 7 years, we are basically looking at a trajectory where any single creator, so a YouTuber, a TikToker, will be able to create the same level of visual effects that is only accessible to the most well-resourced Hollywood studio today. It is without a doubt one of the most important revolutions in the future of human communication and perception. I would say it's analogous to the birth of the internet. Entire industries are going to be transformed, because which industry doesn't need rich media to communicate? Whitaker spoke with companies hoping to hone and harness this technology in ways they believe will remake the entertainment industry. Could real actors be replaced? On the contrary, says Thomas Graham, co-founder of Metaphysic, the technology could be used to make actors immortal. I think it's a great thing if you're a well-known actor today, because you may be able to let somebody collect data for you to create a version of you, yourself, in the future where you could be acting in movies after you have deceased. Doesn't that sound like something going on in the Book of Revelation? Or you could be the director directing your younger self in a movie or something like that. The technology could also be used for ill purposes. You think? Currently, the majority of deep fakes consist of pornography, in which women's faces, often celebrities, are superimposed onto porn videos. But it's also being used for legitimate purposes, such as creating new, never-before-filmed versions of commercials without the actors having to go back to the studio. So far, deepfakes have not been used to disrupt a national election in the United States, at least that we know of. But the FBI says synthetic media will almost certainly be used by malicious actors for cyber and foreign influence operations in the next 12 to 18 months, just in time for the next elections.
There are commercials that are using it.
Yeah, that's right. That's what they say there. They've got commercials that they've...
bigger than they should be.
Yep, that's right. It's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues the Book of Revelation prophesies of. Let's see how that's developing. From the LA Times, as drought worsens, California farmers are being paid to not grow crops.
What?
Yes, Zero Hedge. Alaska snow crab harvest cut by 88% after population crash in Bering Sea. Higher temperatures in the Bering Sea, a marginal sea of the northern Pacific Ocean, could be responsible for one of the lowest levels set in snow crab harvest in more than four decades. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game has set the 2021-22 catch limit of snow crab to 5.6 million pounds, down from 88% last season. Scientists who study snow crabs attempt to understand what happened to the crabs, native to shelf depths in the North Pacific Ocean. They discovered that the sea bottom warmed, pushing the crabs farther to the northwest and deeper waters. But scientists, in testimony to the North Pacific Fishery Management Council last week, noted that there has also been a massive downturn in the population, not just migration out of survey zones. We really do think that some sort of mortality event did occur. This may suggest that supply woes could develop and push snow crab prices higher, adding to already rapid food inflation. We've already detailed in length of an international crab meat shortage already underway, especially with the blue crabs. I got to tell you, I haven't seen any blue crabs off my dock in a long time. I used to catch 100,000 a day. Okay, that's not true. But we had plenty of crabs, and they aren't like they were before, so something is getting into the crabs. I don't know what it is. Okay, Epic Times. Record high organic U.S. soy prices fuel downstream food inflation. U.S. prices for organic soybeans used to feed livestock and manufacture soy milk have surged to record highs, triggering downstream prices and for food like organically raised chicken, and coming as global food prices have risen to their highest levels in a decade. The upward price pressure comes as shortages of container ships to import organic crops and logjams at the U.S. ports are sending shipping costs to record highs. According to industry estimates, the U.S. imports around 70% of its organic soybeans, and domestic production has not increased enough to keep up with the robust demand. Bell & Evans, a Pennsylvania-based organic chicken producer, has been affected by the rising input costs, raising all chicken prices in July and telling Reuters it will probably raise prices again. "We're in the most challenging time since the organic world started when it comes to feeding animals and selling organic animal protein. It is a madhouse now," he says. From Zero Hedge, "Breakfast inflation strikes as oat prices hit record highs. Americans are accustomed to a bowl of cereal as their go-to breakfast meal is about to experience a price increase because of rapid food inflation. This year, a devastating drought in North American oat fields has resulted in the lowest harvest for cereal grains in years, pushing prices to record highs, a warning sign that breakfast inflation is imminent. Scorching heat waves in Canadian oat fields slashed production to an 11-year low. Canada, the world's biggest exporter, ships most of its oats to the United States, its largest consumer. The result so far has been a new record high in oats futures trading on the CME. The sudden spike in prices has yet to ripple through the supply chain, so buy them now, kids, to affect customers, though that will be coming. According to Bloomberg, the situation for North American farmers was so dire in the summer that many cut their losses and harvested damaged plants to be sold as feed for animals. What this means for consumers is that dwindling supplies and record high prices will soon affect foods like cereals, oatmeal, and granola bars, all popular breakfast items. Epic Times, approved version of Pfizer's COVID-19. I've been saying this now for months, and I don't know if anybody believed me, but it's confirmed once again by the Epic Times. Approved version of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine is still not available in the United States. There has not been one vial of approved vaccine administered in the United States of America. Even though they approved the COVID biotech Comirnaty, I think that's how you pronounce it, Comirnaty, whatever. Anyway, they approved that on paper. It has never been released in the United States of America. People are losing their jobs over lies because they say that everybody must get vaccinated, but you cannot force an EUA vaccine on anybody. Our military is coming up within 2 weeks of its deadline, and they are forcing people to take unapproved vaccines because they have not told the American public that there are no approved vaccines in the United States of America. Not one. Just in case you haven't heard this, this is what happened. When the FDA approved the Pfizer vaccine, they did two letters. They did one to Pfizer USA saying that your vaccine is still emergency use authorization. They did a second letter to Pfizer Biotech in Germany, and they said you are approved to administer yours as an approved vaccine. But if they use this vaccine from Pfizer Biotech in the United States and anybody is harmed from it, they will be sued. So they don't want that to happen, and so they've never released the approved vaccine in the United States of America. Not one vial. It's never happened. And so every single vial of vaccine that has been injected into somebody's arm in this nation, and actually in the entire world, has been unapproved. It has been under EUA only. And so if you have people that are in the military, if you have people that are facing this, they have no legal challenge if they are vaccinated. None. If you are harmed by this vaccine, you have no legal challenge because the one that you are being injected with is a non-approved vaccine. Everybody understand that? Okay. From CNN, OSHA submits vaccine rule. I mentioned this in a midweek report. I think it was 2 weeks ago. It might have been Wednesday's report that when Biden stood up and said that all businesses that have more than 100 people have to have their people vaccinated, all he did was give a press conference. That's all he did. There was nothing ever signed by any government official to say that this is now the law. Nothing. All he did was just say it. And all of the companies started saying, okay, we're over 100 people, you must be vaccinated. There's no law that says this. And OSHA admitted that either last Wednesday or the Wednesday before I talked about that. OSHA itself admitted, we have no directions. There is nothing that says you must take this vaccine. Only Biden standing up there saying it. Okay. OSHA submits vaccine rule to the Office of Management and Budget, jumpstarting the review process. From here, it's 90 days to be reviewed and then 90 days for it to be implemented. So for 180 days, there is no requirement that anybody can be forced to be vaccinated in any company in the United States of America. Mail online. Pentagon reveals that more than 100,000 service members are yet to receive their first COVID shot, which none are approved, so they can't legally make them do this, but they're doing it anyway. Deadline for Air Force to be fully vaccinated less than 3 weeks away. These people are going to be pushed out of the military, some with general discharges, general under honorable discharges. They've said that some will get that. And it is all based on a lie. They are purposefully damaging the military of the United States of America. This is a purposeful damaging of it to get rid of the people that think on their own so that everybody is their own little cyborg that they can regulate within the military in order to do whatever they are planning on doing. From the Jerusalem Post. Now listen to these next two. Tell me that this was not coincidence. Jerusalem Post. Aspirin lowers risk of COVID. New findings support preliminary Israeli trial. If you have COVID and you take aspirin, it helps you. Within one day of that, listen to what came out. Reuters, aspirin used to prevent first heart attacks, not recommended for most older adults, says U.S. panel. They've been saying for the past 5,000 years that taking aspirin to reduce your risk of heart attack. Within one day of this study coming out from Israel, they came out and said, don't take aspirin. They don't want anybody to take anything except what they want you to take.
Yeah, they want you to die.
There you go. We're all conspiracy theorists here. Listen, you know, I just pull stuff out of the news. I don't give commentaries. You know me. I let you make your own decisions. And then they come back all these crazy theories like that lady that just spoke. But you're thinking just like I am, okay? You're thinking just like I am. How could you have one thing and the next day have another that has been, like I said 5,000 years. I think it was 4,300 years that they say take aspirin, whatever it is, okay? How can that be unless there is an agenda going on? How is this possible? Okay, the state of morality is declining. Here's some news on that. Mail Online. British Airways tells pilots and cabin crew not to refer to passengers as ladies and gentlemen in favor of gender-neutral terms. That's British Airways. Mail Online. Newsom's woke weekend. I'm sure all of you heard this, but if you haven't, I'll just give you the title. This is California. California governor signs into law free menstrual products for girls, ethnic studies lessons, forces stores to have gender-neutral areas, and bans gas-powered lawnmowers. You can't have any gas-powered anything in California anymore. If you got a leaf blower, you can't have it. If you want a chainsaw, you can't have it. It has to be battery-powered, which is really going to destroy the environment when those things start breaking down and people start throwing that stuff away. But this is where California is right now. Okay, Mail Online. Lego will remove gender bias from its toys after survey found boys fear they'll be made fun of for playing with girls' toys. So they're just going to have no gender stuff at all, and that's it. Mail Online, Superman comes out as bisexual. DC Comics reveals superhero's son of Clark Kent and Lois Lane will start a romance with a male best friend just 2 months after company announced Batman sidekick Robin is also bi. Okay, now, just this morning, I won't put it in next week's because I'm going to tell you now, I just read this morning that not only have they done that, but they decided yesterday that it will no longer say the American way. Superman will no longer defend the American way. You will never hear that again. So, okay, some other news from around the world. And as I say each week, please be sure to check out the Superior Word sermons like these very wise people that I mentioned just a while ago. We got all kinds of wonderful people that were talking about the sermons that they had watched. Please watch the sermons. Okay, from GB News, Great Britain News, Mercy Muroki. She's one of the people at GB News. And she can say this because she is a woman of color. Otherwise, they would have this person arrested, but here you go. Britain's knife crime epidemic is worse than America's gun problem. So if we get rid of our guns in America, people are just going to start stabbing each other. Get ready for that, okay? One of the largest single incidents of people killing other people one-on-one was a guy in China. I reported on it maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Went out with a knife and killed, I think, 27 people. I mean, guns, if you got a knife, guns don't stand a chance compared to knives because guns eventually run out of something. Knives just keep on working, okay? A new link by Think Tank Policy Exchange has revealed the true scale and causes of the knife crime epidemic that blights the nation's capital. This is UK. It confirms that the Metropolitan Police is, quote, losing a battle against knife crime that is out of control in some parts of London. We have had the statistics on knife crime for a while, and yet so little of substance is done about it. 1,100 people were stabbed in London alone in the year up to the pandemic. For comparison, that figure is more than the number of annual police shootings in the whole of America. And yet, all the outrage by social justice activists seems to be about police brutality abroad. Yet they can't garner the same level of outrage for the more deadly epidemic we face here at home. Sadly, you can't talk about knife crime without talking about racial disparity. Like I said, this is a woman of color saying this. Anybody else would just be kicked off the news team. Young black men are 24 times as likely to be murdered in the UK as a whole compared to their white peers. Ethnic minorities make up over 80% of both victims and perpetrators of knife crime in the capital. Sarah Hedge, well done, Greta. Energy crisis to send carbon emissions to all-time highs. These lefties are all talking about the green agenda and saving the world and all this kind of stuff, and all they have done is destroyed an infrastructure that has been working for years, and all of a sudden, now they have to re-implement it, and it's going to cause a lot more problems with the world, okay? The biggest irony is that in seeking to deprive fossil fuels of much-needed growth capital to shrink fossil fuel output, the virtue-signaling assault by the Green Lobby, spearheaded by hapless puppet Greta Thunberg, has achieved just the opposite. As Bloomberg writes, the ongoing global energy crisis, the coming winter weather, and the release of pent-up pandemic demand have sent nations scrambling to stockpile fossil fuels, a move that portends a surge in global carbon dioxide emissions this year, which is set to make new all-time highs. The trajectory poses a new threat to the feel-good Paris Agreement goal of limiting global temperature increase to 1.5 Celsius as China, India, and other developing economies are driving the demand for coal, but even the United States is poised to increase its consumption of the dirtiest fossil fuel in almost a decade, according to a forecast from the IEA. Across the world, fossil fuels are making a remarkable comeback as a supercharged recovery from the pandemic boosts demand. For all the green energy promises and plans, that transition is in its infancy, and the world still leans heavily on fossils. It's an addiction built up over 2.5 centuries, and it runs deep. This is the revenge of the fossil fuels. And so we have gotten to the point where not only are emissions not dropping, but the question of just how big the spike will depend on how cold it gets. Whether emissions reach new highs will probably depend on the weather. Now, if only someone had predicted this all-too-obvious outcome ahead of the push to defund the legacy of fossil fuel infrastructure decades before alternative energy sources were ready to become the new energy leaders. And they say that tongue-in-cheek because that's exactly what they've been saying is going to happen for the past 5 or 8 years. This is coming. You're not ready. We're going to have a problem. Zero Hedge. UK readying new law mandating home EV chargers, that's your electronic vehicle, be shut down during peak hours. Uh-oh. As EV owners are starting to unfortunately learn, electricity to power your green vehicles has to come from somewhere. This is a tough dose of reality that many EV owners in the UK could be facing next year now that a new law has been proposed to switch off home EV chargers during peak hours. The law seeks to prevent excessive strain on the grid. Let me see if I have another article on that same issue. I don't have it here, so I will just tell you that the people that went to the global climate thing in Glasgow, Scotland, all had to have their Teslas charged by diesel generators. Yes, they all lined up and they had diesel generators to charge them because they couldn't get enough chargers for these people to drive their green-friendly cars to the summit.
That sounds like gas.
I'll tell you what, that sounds like liberals. Okay, Zero Hedge. Is America doomed to replicate Europe's energy crisis? I would say so. What is happening in Europe, including the UK, by the way, one of the most active energy transitioners right now, is a cautionary tale of magnificent proportions. The quick deterioration in the energy situation in Europe should make anyone planning major energy system overhauls think twice before following the exact same scenario that Europe did. For weeks now, there's been virtually no other news but the energy crunch that surprised Europe in September and has since then gone on to roil every market and industry and spur fears of blackouts, astronomical utility bills, and rising food prices. The official version of events is that rising energy demand coincided with tight energy supply. The unofficial version has to do with Europe's energy transition agenda and the possibility it may have rushed to it without enough long-term planning. And now, the United States is basically an identical agenda, focusing on boosting wind and solar power generation capacity, reduce demand for oil and gas, and encourage people to buy EVs instead of cars with internal combustion engines. The energy crisis in Western Europe this summer has been brought on by premature retirements of hundreds of coal and natural gas power plants in favor of massive over-reliance on wind power and, to a lesser extent, solar. Ironically, this crisis is taking place just as Pelosi and congressional Democrats attempt to ram through their massive $3.5 billion reconciliation bill that is in large part designed to recreate the European model in the United States.
$3.5 trillion.
Yes, absolutely. $3.5 trillion. Newsmax. Pete, I don't even know how to pronounce his last name properly, so I'm not going to... No, don't say it, okay? Pete, we are relying on supply chains that were built generations ago, he says. That's his excuse while he's taking 2 months off during the biggest crisis we've had in forever with his department. He says, we are relying on supply chains that were built generations ago. Well, they worked until a couple of years ago. Newsmax. Representative Rosendale to Newsmax. Supply chain shortage makes U.S. look like Russia. That's exactly what they want. They want this to be a communist nation. They're getting what they want. Yeah. Mail Online. Kamala slams European explorers who ushered in a wave of devastation for tribal nations and vows the Biden administration will work to address the impact of America's shameful past. Publicly and openly, she is saying that. Now, it's fine. I understand that America and people all over the world have done things bad in the countries they've gone in and colonized or won in war. It's happened everywhere in the world. But for the leader of the nation to say this and to say that our past is shameful when she is the vice president of the United States, well, she's in the position of the vice president of the United States. This is absolutely a disgrace. These people are an absolute disgrace. Okay. Who said it? Life must be understood backward, but must be lived forward. I know, it's a good quote. Anybody? Soren Kierkegaard. Yes, of course. Nobody knew that. I can't believe it. Okay, I've got a lesser cure for you. Let's see if you can figure out what he is writing about. Iranians now have new rules. They sound like they came from some fools. No pizza or drink that is red. Now let's think, what is next? Maybe men can't use tools? Okay, I got a couple of ironies here for you and we'll be done. The first one is from the Front Page Mag. Black Lives Matter killed 2,000 black people. The number of black murder victims rose 62% in 1 year. And it's solely because of Black Lives Matter. Okay, Reuters. White House asks U.S. oil and gas companies to help lower fuel costs. He shut down the Keystone Pipeline. He shut down every possible thing he could shut down the day he entered office. And he's begging these people to bail him out. Unbelievable. Such is the world in which we live. And so from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett. And that is your CG report for the week.